Good day, everyone. This is the acoustics of the 2005 Toyota Camry, known as my vehicle. Welcome back to another episode of the Atlanta Podcast. I am your host, Matt B. Davis. So happy to bring yet another episode to you. We are just catching our groove. This is episode 7 or 8 or whatever. You'll notice I'm not really huge on the numbering thing. I think people make a big deal of that. And I just chose for this one, just here's the person's name and off we go, right? I think the point when we get to a lot of them will be like, wow, there's a lot of them, but you can just scroll through and see that there's in fact a lot of them. So I don't think I need to explain that much further. Just know that you're not going to be seeing numbers from me. Maybe when we hit 100 or 500 or 1,000 or something. Anyhow, on today's program, Tim Mack, Imperial Opa Circus. I'd met this man a couple times. I think I mentioned it on the podcast convo with him. One was he and his troupe, circus folk, I don't know what you call them, a gaggle of circus people, late night at the Majestic one night. Once upon a time in early 13, was it? I guess must have been 2013. Late 13, early 14, I was driving for Lyft and Uber as a way to make some extra cash, and I would often spend many nights in between rides at the Majestic. Now I don't think that can happen. I think those things are super busy and you'd never have a chance off. But back then it was early days for those applications. Not everybody knew about them. You could have time downtime at the Majestic. So I saw his troupe and they were like all clearly colorfully attired and made up. And, oh, who are you guys? And then another time was in the park in Old Fourth Ward. It was just he and his folks just kind of practicing. But I assume that's also marketing for him, Tim, probably. You know, you see women on stilts and chicks doing cool things and this guy with a crazy mustache and juggling, and he taught my kids to juggle or attempted to. You know, I just walked over to him and he was like, hey, do you want to learn to juggle? And so he did. And that was super cool. And so long story short, life brought me back to Tim. I said, let's talk. And I could not have imagined how much fun this conversation would have been. I just went back and listened to it. You know, a lot of times we do that thing where people just walk by and we just sort of, they just become part of the convo. That happened here. But I'll be honest, I had to trim some of those. I do very little trimming on the show, but it's to the point where you can't hear much of what they're saying. And so it takes away from it. So you'll hear sort of some jump cuts there, but I don't think you'll even notice. But I just told you because I'm honest like that. I should probably get one of those big giant directional mics that I can just point at people instead of these little handheld guys. But anyhow, let's jump in with Tim. Recent conversation. Away we go. Okay, first question. How many times a day do people pass you and just go, opa?
Surprisingly, a lot of people do say that quite often, and sometimes I don't even know where it's coming from. Like, a lot of times in parades and such, well, walking down the street, you hear right. People shouting out.
Right.
And the grocery store, opa! And have other people in our circus also.
Hello. What's happening? Hi. I talked to you before. You want to hear something hilarious? I want to show you the text. I want to show you the text. This is unbelievable. This is unbelievable. Hang on. It's going to take a minute.
Tim. Hi, Nikki.
Nice to meet you.
Too. Nikki. So one of the things about this, I think you might have been sitting down with me like one of my first ones ever, and I've now done several. But one of the things I like is that this happens. People just walk by. I say, I don't edit shit. Just like, hey, how's it going? Whatever. Right? It's totally cool.
And people are like, Matt.
Or I don't know them at all. In the case of Nikki here, let's scroll down. Do, do, do. No, it's just wait. Hang on. Do, do, do. Do, do, do.
Keeps people on their toes. Yeah.
Do, do, do.
And what's your passion, Nikki?
In life?
Yeah.
People.
I want you to read that note out loud. The top of the page. Just what does that say? A listener of the episode was like, what happened to Nikki? So I called him and I go, you mean the girl that randomly walked by? And he said, yes. So tell everybody what you've been up to, Nikki.
Well, currently I'm dealing with my property management people who will not get the mold out of my walls. That's a lot of what I've been up to recently.
Do you live here?
I do.
In this building?
No. No, I don't live in this building. I live at a Braden Feldman apartment.
Oh,
because we want to say F those people.
Yeah.
Should we go on? Just give her your mic for a second, because we're going to talk to Nikki. You're now part
Hello.
of it. So, by the way, are you much of a podcast listener?
Yeah, I love podcasts.
Okay, so you're going to want to follow the Atlanta podcast, which is this podcast. And I'll send you a link. You should send me your info. Okay. But there's another show called the Atlanta podcast. You don't want them. You want this.
We don't want them.
You want this one. You want this Atlanta podcast.
Right, the one with the cool logo.
Right. There's other one that's a shit logo.
You said it, not me.
So what is wrong with these apartment people?
Well, you see, you're supposed to provide your tenants with like a habitable environment. In Georgia, they don't actually protect renters. So you kind of like get the shit end of the stick and you can't just like withhold rent. That's not your right as a renter.
Right.
And so these are super old buildings, like made way back in the day. But now they're charging like $300 more because upon city market, because, you know, people love gentrification, but they don't want to change anything. They don't want to update the buildings.
These are hot topics for this whole podcast. We had a whole, do you know who Ryan Gravel is?
No.
He like invented the Beltline.
Oh, yes.
I talked to that guy.
Like had the idea and thesis and then it got turned into what it is now.
I talked to him right over here and we talked about all that stuff. It's a very good episode. You should listen to it.
I would love
to. We get into it. We disagree on a lot of things.
You got to get into it. There are a lot of different opinions.
So what are you doing in this area?
I work right over there.
For whom?
For Orange Sparkle Ball. It's a real name.
Can I guess what you do?
Please.
Are you a creative agency?
I feel like I told you that already, so I don't know if this is a fair guess.
Well, it's got one of those names.
Does it? Because people are mainly like, is this a sport company? A party company? Were you?
You are horrible at this game.
That's what I think. I think Orange Sparkle Ball accountants.
And do you write copy for these people? What do you do?
No, it's a little bit of like strategy work. I don't know. That's super vague. Like innovation strategy, service design strategy.
Who was the suit guy you were talking to?
That's Tyler.
Does he work with you?
No, he lives here though.
Right. Do we want to say anything else about Tyler or no?
He's a really nice guy. He's from Buffalo, so I need that northern connection.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I think you should, I should get your contact info so I can send you links. And also, I think you should become a frequent guest on the show.
All right.
That just stops by.
I don't want my fans to miss me.
Well,
so
clearly, Dario was looking for
Dario,
you.
Dario, call me. I'm sorry.
All right, cool.
Bye, guys.
All right, cool. Let me, can you put your number in there? Gotcha. And just, I mean, how awesome is that?
That's a super awesome stop by right there. Well, we're strange. We like you.
Have you heard of the Imperial Opa? Oh. That's this guy. That's Tim.
I run a circus in town. We do circus things.
Tell me more.
Well, we do circus things.
Like aerial arts?
Oh, hold on. Yeah, aerial arts, tumbling.
Juggling.
Horsing. Juggling.
Juggling.
The on the unicycle with juggling?
No, juggling.
Yeah.
You know.
Yodel like, while juggling?
Like, you know, juggling, man. Like, it's like going for a yog.
Oh, yeah.
Juggling?
Joggling. Yeah, juggling. Yeah, I know what you're talking about now. Okay. Well, it's a, you jog while you juggle. Jog. What?
I was just saying it. I was just...
You could do yoga while you're jogging and juggling.
Do you have any circus extra? Can you do any of those things?
I can do the splits. That's about it.
Okay. Can you show us or no?
Actually, do you want...
Did you used to be a cheerleader?
Teach you one quick circus thing right now.
Teach me. Yeah.
Okay, here.
Can I film this and it'll be bonus content
can
for the...
Sure that everyone knows that I was not a cheerleader?
Well, okay.
I do have a lot of respect for, like, tumbling cheerleaders. Like, that's hard.
But you don't want to be, like, sorority chick.
Like
what kind? Ballet?
Yeah.
Tap?
Tap, yeah.
Okay. Jazz. Okay. All right. I don't know what else there is. I named the two that I know.
Glitter ball sparkling. Okay,
so hang on a second. We're gonna learn tricks. This is awesome. Hang on 1 second.
Maybe we'll get there. We're building up to it. First stand, straight up, and then lean back that same way. So you step straight up, put your foot on that knee, and then lean back the same time.
Did you just say I'm a lot of lady?
A lot of lady.
Ready?
Yeah.
One, two, down. Hop. Step straight. Ooh. Yeah. Good. And now you can go to the stand. And wave.
That's awesome.
Here, step down. Sorry.
That was phenomenal. That's like the first ever like bonus content.
Bonus content.
Of the... So are you 6 foot tall?
I'm like 5'8".
Okay. Is that what you mean by like a lot of lady?
No, I just mean like I got a lot of muscle.
Are you like a lifter? Do you even lift, bro? Like what's your story?
I don't lift. No, I think I should though.
Are you a CrossFitter type person?
Super not.
softball and whatnot?
Softball and whatnot.
Sports ball.
Yeah.
What position?
Pitcher.
Oh, real skills. Did you play Division I?
I played Division III.
No one has ever said that. So that, dude, this is like...
Three is more than one, so it's better.
That was phenomenal. You tell me the school, and I'll see if I can guess your mascot.
Swanee
Swallows. Nope. Swanee, what does it begin with? Tigers. Boom!
I mean, it was either that or like Tyrannosaurus Rex, so you got it.
Swanee Tyrannosauruses. I like that.
This show might need like the Ed McMahon. Are you old enough to know who Ed McMahon is? How about who would be a younger version? Who's like the best current like sidekick?
Best current sidekick.
Andy Richter from Conan. Do you know who he is?
He's a pretty good guy.
Well, they just didn't have that
Ellen?
Role. They just didn't have that. Nobody's had that sidekick role. Right?
So maybe I'm like a better Chewie.
You're like a much
more Chewie.
You're like a much better Chewie. Are you from around here? Are you from where are you from?
Where do you think I'm from?
Well, she said
Swanee.
There's two guesses, one each.
What state?
Yeah.
Do I think you're from?
Louisiana.
Okay. You've got no discernible accent. Can you tell me the region of the country and I'll guess the state? Philly? No? Okay, that was our guess. Go ahead. Okay, well, I was close with Philly.
New Jersey.
Well, Nikki, I enjoyed having you back on the program.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be back.
Okay. You need to schedule in for next week.
I think we need to talk. I'll always do interviews pretty much right here.
Listen, well, I will make sure to always come by. I'll feel it.
Okay. Tuesdays and Wednesdays mostly.
All right,
good to see you. All right,
hey.
Good to see you, bro.
Okay.
Bonus content coming. If I forget to post it, which I may, I'm telling listeners... Text me and say, like, dude, you forgot the interview. All right. Good to see you, Nikki.
Okay.
Au revoir.
That was awesome.
That was fun.
I'm hoping.
We're out of time.
I know. I'm hoping that, because sometimes, like, I do talk to whatever and people, but, like, I'm hoping that picked up when you were talking. I was trying to point the mic, but then it was getting in the way of this phone thing. But that was awesome.
Bonus content. That's a simple. It's like one of the first things we teach people because it talks a lot about connecting with somebody, and you have to think about both. You have a base, which is the person on the ground, and you have the flyer, the person who stands up. So both of them have to have a conversation with their bodies and their weight, and it's a good like introduction to everything else you start doing circus wise. Working with people, you start building trust in relationships, and you start thinking about how you feel on people and how you could. You know, it's not about strength; it's about technique. You know, a lot of this is about stacking your bones on top of each other so all the weight just transfers into the earth and not through your muscles.
So could you teach what you just showed her to pretty much anybody, you're saying? Because it's about technique. It's not about weight or skill set per se. I mean, obviously, like with knowledge comes better technique.
Yes.
And better, right?
Yes. So yeah, anyone can learn any of these things. Like the oldest guy I work with in the circus, he's 86 years old. His name is Steve Seberg. He does handstands and flips and rolls, amazing acrobat. He's been doing it his whole entire life. So, you know, age is not a limit. Age is just in the, well, some of it's physical, but some of it's in the mind. And then you have people really young who have been, I worked with the Hebei Golden Eagle Acrobat Troupe when I was in D.C. for the Smithsonian Folklife Festival recently. And they showed me pictures of kids they have over there who are like 18 months old or even younger than that doing full splits on the ground. So these kids are already like in the process of training.
Well, that is one thing about... I mean, it's interesting because I wasn't sure I would throw out the word circus because I wasn't sure like if that was like. But you clearly like you own that term, right?
I don't own that term.
I mean, like you own it in terms of like some people would say like, no, I'm not a circus performer. I'm a blah blah blah.
Some people do have. There's a lot of mixed feelings.
They're
of
hung
circus.
Up. They're hung up because they think shitty carny, for lack of a better word.
Well, so
which clearly you are not.
The circus and carnival did come together back in the day. Because they're two separate things, but they came together for reasons of touring and financial reasons, because both of them now could split the cost of touring and make it easier. And so people think circus, they think carnival, it comes together. Also, you know, PETA, as much as I think they're doing good, they've also done so much bad as far as branding, because, you know, yeah, there are bad animal trainers out there who have done bad things, but generally speaking, animal trainers at the circus are awesome. They love them better than people do, you know? But they use that as a fundraising technique. So they say, all circuses are bad. And now people start seeing, hear that term and think, all circuses are bad. And they're like, I don't want to be part of something that's bad. I don't want to support something that's bad, even though 90% of them are great. Just like you're bad cat owners, like you're bad people own dogs and fish, right? So, you know, there are bad people, but generally speaking, they're great, you know? And beyond that, you think of chaos. Like, okay, what's happening in the White House? Oh, it's a circus up there. And like, why is the term circus when that term is actually not correct? The circus is actually so well organized, timing, logistics, movement, everything is choreographed. It's a choreographed chaos, but that's not a choreographed chaos up there. That's just chaos.
Dude, this is so awesome because someone I'm interviewing next week is an illusionist. Maybe you know him. And we were talking about the term magician. And when you talk about someone who's excellent at what they do, right? Mm. Michael Jordan, he's like a magician with the basketball, yep. Right? Or a guy at your work that can create amazing reports. Oh, he's like a magician. However, that word is used as a compliment except for when describing magicians. Like people think cheesy, lame, bad. Like, do you understand what I'm saying?
I do.
Like, isn't that fascinating? So you just did the same thing with me with circus, which I haven't quite put together yet.
Who's the illusionist?
His name is... Sorry, not remembering da, your name, da, da, guy.
Da, da. I know you're sweating. I saw a bead of sweat forming. You're like, hope he doesn't ask me the name. Da, da, da.
It is... Is it Austin?
Austin? I don't know.
Shun?
I don't know Austin Shun.
I got a very busy week next week.
Well, that's cool. I'd love to chat with him, though. I'm always interested in meeting new people.
Well, he described himself as an illusionist, and I said, are you okay with magician? He said, yes, but some people aren't for that reason. So what I was going to say, though, about circus and carnival people when you mentioned small children was it does seem to be a family business, right? People tend to, if your family was a tightrope walker, you're going to be a tightrope walker. If your family was a aerial, I don't even know what they call, what are trapeze artists, like that's, mm-hmm. right? So that happens a lot, right?
Well, there are lots of different schools for circus, you know, like different thoughts for circus. There are the classic people who have been born into circus for generations, going seven generations or more back. Like circus started, I believe, after the Seven-Year War when a French or Italian soldier got back who was an equestrian rider. And he wanted to make money, so he started riding his horse. And he started doing tricks on the horse, and then he started hiring people in between his horse acts to do entertainment, like he hired acrobats and jugglers and wire walkers. And that was like the first official circus. Then after that, another gentleman came along who he worked with, and he started his own company, which he called the Circus, which was a circle. And so that was like the birth of the word circus. And that then came to America, and it got big, and then circuses started traveling around the world, and they started picking up, you know, classic Chinese acrobats and went to Russia, where the Russian state circus was made. And, of course, Ringling Brothers was here, started really popularizing it to a really big show. And that's kind of like the birth. And then, of course, it fell on really hard times when, you know, the situation changed where, you know, it gets more expensive to ride the rails and this and that. And so the circus hit a downfall. Then you see the birth of Cirque du Soleil coming up where they saw this and they're like, how can we... He has a saying that the sale of Blue Ocean, the Blue Ocean strategy, Guy Liberté, the founder of Cirque du Soleil...
I was about to ask if you've met the man before.
I have not. I worked with them for a year. I worked on their CUSA tour. So I was a photographer for a year with Cirque du Soleil. That's actually what got me into the business.
So wait... So first of all, really quickly, I met him for like 2 seconds.
Awesome.
I know. And I don't even think I have a picture of it. Do you know who Tony Hsieh is?
Sounds very familiar.
CEO of Zappos.
Yeah, I haven't met.
Zappos is an online company. They sell shoes, yeah, but yeah. They're like the best customer service in the world. Everybody loves them.
Yeah.
And I went there because they do cool stuff where like they just have cool stuff there. So like they do tours and stuff. And the day that I was there, he must have been meeting with...
Zappos, yeah.
I was at Zappos and Guy was there.
Yeah.
Because I guess they're doing some cool Vegas thing together. And I got introduced to Tony and he was like, oh, by the way, this is Guy. And I was like, I was kind of starstruck. And I was like, what can you do in 2 seconds, right? You try not to be. I like that, by the way, with the coffee. I like that. Because you don't want to be a total fanboy. Do you want to ask that one burning question you've always had? Like, I mean, I don't know. How are you like that with, I don't know. Have you had people that you wanted to meet and then you met them and you were like freaked out?
Well, I mean, I do hold people up high, but I think we're all humans on a base level. And as long as you connect with people on a level, being like, hey, you're human, I'm a human. You might have a lot of money, you might have done a lot of things, but does that really make you different? There's like the whole Buddhist thing, you know? If you take off your clothing and shave your hair, is it still you? If you remove your skin or cut off your arms and your legs, is it still you? If you remove your whole body and your mind, is it still you? How much can you remove before you get down to the essence of what you are? And I think we all are, at the essence, the same thing. Right? So why not connect with people on that same level?
Yeah, but what if Paul McCartney walked by?
I mean, I'd probably wouldn't recognize him. But okay. If I did, I would be like, hey, man, high five. Do some groovy stuff.
Who are your heroes growing up then? I'm saying it's great. I would love to have that attainness of spiritual giantness, but I'm afraid I would freak out if I was like super close to like Brad Pitt or Paul McCartney.
Yeah, they do cool things, but like, why? I mean, they're people.
You're I know person. You're very.
I should be excited to be sitting here with you too. I'm like, this guy's a podcaster. He's been doing, you know, Spartan races for years. He knows people. He has 20,000 followers. Wow.
But right.
I mean, I am. I'm cool. I'm happy to sit here with you. I think you're a cool guy.
So when you were a kid, is there anybody that you looked up to?
I don't know. That's a tough question. I don't remember.
What were like records did you listen to, or tapes or CDs? What was your form of choice? CDs, I'm guessing, if you're 10 years younger than me.
CDs, yeah, there's a few CDs and tape players. We used to do a lot of tape, a lot of raves as kids.
Yeah,
going to raves. That's what actually got me into doing the whole circus industry.
So wait, let's back up. You were a photographer. You didn't have the skills you have today. You just shot pictures for Cirque du Soleil.
You want to hear the origin story?
Of course I want to hear the origin story. Now, here's the difference between me and most interviewers. We're not just going to talk about that and, like, circus stuff. Yeah. We're going to talk about whatever, right?
That's
like,
cool.
We're going to talk to a random chick that walked by. But because you said that kind of like maybe you didn't want to tell the origin story.
No, I don't mind. Well, it's like it kind of gives the background of, like, why I'm doing this.
Right. It's like the woman I just spoke with, she won a baking contest, all right? I think I mentioned baking like twice before we hit minute 45, and then I was just like, all right, let's talk about the stupid show you were on. Because that's literally how I felt about it. We were having such a good conversation about everything else. So anyhow...
Well, I'm happy to have a conversation about everything.
So did somebody just open a bottle of soap?
I think it's the yoga place down there. I walked past it earlier, and there was a nice wafting smell coming out. It's like a yoga place with the door open.
But that's not a yoga smell. A yoga smell is very... I smell soap or something. Did you guys just... I want to yell over there. Did you guys just open a big bottle of soap?
Soap! Clean it up!
Let's ask these unsuspecting two females. Let's see how they handle this question.
Okay.
Excuse me one moment. Do you smell soap? Yeah. Aha! Yeah. Where is it coming from?
Right there.
Did those ladies spill a thing of soap?
I don't know.
Is the garbage can?
That'd be a lovely garbage can smell.
I don't think anyone in the history of ever, as the kids said, have said, you smell soap? Yes. What is it? The garbage can.
All right.
Have a great rest of the day.
Carpe diem.
Yeah.
They were totally accountants.
But they're not, though. Why do you think everybody's in accounting? That guy's not an accounting.
Huh? He's an accountant, totally.
Okay, what's that kid right there? Is he an accountant?
Oh, he's going to be soon. Look at that. The arch on the back. Accountant.
All right. So let's go with the exciting origin story. All right. You have to, if you're going to tell me the origin story, you have to include at least a couple details that not everybody gets. Like, we got to get the special version.
A couple details that not everybody gets. That's a tough one.
We'll just start and we'll see where it goes.
Okay. Well, I finished school. I moved to Vermont where I fell in love with this lady. I was a professor at a college.
What school?
I graduated Atlanta College of Art and Design here in Atlanta the year before it was bought by SCAD.
I was going to say, nobody's heard of that one, but people have heard of SCAD.
Yeah, eventually SCAD came in and bought our alma mater?
Right.
School, yeah.
Right.
And it became SCAD, to our dismay, I guess.
It wasn't the New York one, was it?
SCAD, I think, is SCAD.
No, but there was like a New York one down here that tried to poach all the SCAD, and then SCAD just kind of took them over and bought them.
No, this was a ACA, Atlanta College of Art and Design. It's been around for a long time. Like where the new High Museum is, that used to be a dorms that they built for the Olympics, I think. And so that place was actually our original dorm rooms when we moved in. And they used to be a big field now where the big pavement areas between the high and the...
So your dorm was right on like Peachtree Street?
Oh yeah, I worked at the High Museum as a bartender where they had wheeled the bars out for like the symphony and the theater. And
right.
I would sling drinks to people.
That's so cool.
That was a fun job.
Okay, so you moved to Vermont.
Graduated, moved to Vermont, and I worked in movies. Worked in Anna Nicole Smith's last film. You know, when her son committed suicide, then she died, committed suicide.
What films were being filmed in Vermont?
Lots of films. The one I worked on was called Illegal Aliens.
So was Vermont given the old, like, hey, we're going to give you a great tax incentive thing? Because that happened for a lot of cities. But then it happened here and stuck. But that's a longer conversation. But was that what's going on in Vermont?
I don't know at the time.
What city in Vermont?
First Brandon, and then I worked in Rutland, and then I lived in Burlington.
So I know those towns because I am from Boston, and I've actually spent some time. I've spent time in Pittsfield many summers I've spent in Pittsfield. Longer story, I'll tell you that later. But I got lost, like, in Rutland or on the way to Rutland or... What years was this?
Oh, I don't know, like 10, 12 years ago.
Okay. So you're a professor, you're dating a student. What happened?
I'm not a student. Just a lady I met in the park one day. We started talking and we hit it off and it was really groovy.
What were you teaching?
Special effects for film and video. So like After Effects classes and special effects, green screening. Because I got my BFA in computer animation and I wanted to go into game design. So I did a lot of 3D animation and modeling and special effects.
You're like a renaissance dude.
Gotta learn a bunch of stuff, you know?
I know, but like most people don't. Like, do you know what my skill is?
Podcasting?
This is it. This is me talking to you, man. That's it. Like, I tell people all the time, like, I can't code a computer. I can't fix a car engine. You know what I mean?
You totally can. It's not because things are difficult that we do not try. It's because we do not try that things are difficult.
Not true. Here's how I know, okay?
Lay it on me.
I worked with a friend of mine when I was a young man and, like, willing to do anything for money. Hey, can you mow this lawn? Hey, can you whatever? And this guy was like, hey, I've got a construction company. And I said to myself, self, you're not good at that shit, but you know what? Maybe here's your chance. Maybe here's your chance to learn. And for 2 or 3 days, which I know isn't probably long enough. First of all, this chick is super muscular. I try not to notice everybody going by, but look at those arms. Look at the definition.
Guns.
It would be super creepy for me to yell something from here, so I won't. If she were closer to it. If we were... No, you'd never do that.
You're behind a car, and you're like, hey!
Right. But if she were walking by, I could say, oh, hello. And then... anyway.
So your construction thing, you tried.
And so 2 or 3 days, and it was basically like, if you can imagine, like, if, in the TV show or movie where, like, there's, like, the montage of like showing the guy sawing and then it comes out, it's supposed to be a square and it comes out a rectangle, tries again, it comes out a triangle, comes out again, it comes out a moose. You know what I mean? Like that was me. After 3 days, I was like, look, I'll be the kid that sweeps up. Like if they need a guy, they just pick up the scraps and clean up the area. I'm like, because this is not, now again, if I gave it 10 years, maybe it would take, but after 3 days of really trying, I just don't think I have those skills, dude.
3 days? I tell you what, I'm going to give you an experiment. And actually, all your listeners could do this too with me right now. We can all do it together.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, so it takes 2 hands. I'm going to put the microphone down sort of here.
Okay.
Okay, it takes 2 hands. Take your...
Are we going to do this together? Should I put the mic down? Me, yeah. Oh, this is phenomenal.
Okay, so take your right hand and put your thumb up.
Okay.
Take your left hand and put your pointer finger out.
Okay.
And so at the count of three, we're going to switch. The right hand's going to point and the left hand's going to have a thumb up. We're just going to swap them, okay? 1, 2, 3, switch. Oh, look at that. You have a thumb and this.
Right. But
that's not right. You want that. Okay, and now
is
switch
that
back.
Is that normally what happens?
That's normally what happens. Now swatch back. Hup. Go back.
Okay, now I got to think real hard.
Just do 1, 2, 3, hup. All right. So now you have 2 pointers out. But so this is working both left side of your right side of your mind at the same time. So you swap and you keep going back and forth. And, you know, it looks like it's a difficult thing and people mess up this all the time at first. I know, it's good. If you're listening.
For the record, I did, what did I do?
You did the 2 pointers and 2 thumbs.
Then I did 2 pointers, then 2 points, and then a gun, I think. Yeah. The gun is the common one. So I'm going to practice this. You're saying that if you can eventually get to that level.
I'm saying that this is, it seems like a tricky thing, and you're like, my brain can't figure this out. But by doing it, you'll actually master it. And this is a proof that, like,
is this the
stuff.
First thing you give to circus people? It's like a wax on, wax off thing. Like, what? How is this going to teach me how to juggle? And you're like, just do it. Is that how it works?
Kind of, yeah, because it's working both left sides of your mind, left and right side of your mind, and juggling is left side, right side of your mind, and typing.
It really is hard.
Well, you do it, and you know, I see you next time we run into each other. You're gonna be like, Tim, check this out, ba da, ba da, ba da, and I'll be like, oh, hey, it looks cool.
I thought your name was Tim.
Tim, yeah.
Okay, I thought you said Jim.
Jim, Tim, hey, you, mustache guy, whatever.
Okay, I'm gonna consciously do this now. Okay, not quickly either. I'm gonna do it. Just do it slowly.
Just do it slow, yeah.
Okay,
first.
So. Finger, thumb, there
we
go.
Opa!
Opa!
But, wow. You know, all these exercises and skills.
This guy has got a phone on his head. This is awesome. That guy I will yell at.
He's life logging as well. Or is live videoing.
Dude, that is awesome! Are you life vlogging, bro? Huh. Is that a thing? Wait a minute, what was that? Wait a minute, something special just happened. Special communique just happened with roller...
He said tips up.
Tips up.
What tips up mean? I'm not sure if he meant this.
Oh, I thought you knew.
No, I didn't know.
I thought he was speaking to you in your language.
People say weird things all the time, and I'm like, hey, okay. Just keep going on.
You're very go with the flow. You're kind of like a monk. You're like a modern day monk. You're very go with the flow.
You gotta go with the flow. I tried doing the opposite. I tried to be a tree, but trees get blown over, man. You can't be a tree.
I know, but I'm 10 years older than you, and I'm still like fighting like fucking crazy. I feel like I'm struggling, man. Struggling. You're like very chill.
Well, what's the other option? So I'll tell you another story. One of my previous partners had in the circus. She was awesome. We were very talented person. But it got to the point where one day I was home for Connecticut, where my family is, for Christmas, and I was getting on a plane, and I gave my sister a hug goodbye. She dropped me off at the airport. I turned around. She's like, Tim, what's that in the back of your head? And I'm like, what? And a whole patch of hair, like a baseball size.
What?
On the right side, like off-centered, just wasn't there. It was smooth, like a baby's butt smooth. It was just like so smooth. She touched it, like, what happened? It was a perfect circle. And it was because when I was home for that vacation time, the person I was working with were having such disagreements on things. It was such a stressful time that stress actually is a stress thing.
Right, you lose your hair.
Yeah, well, it wasn't normal up here, but it's like there's a spontaneous stress thing that happens where it's just in a patch. It has grown back since then. But, that moment I was like, I can't keep doing this. This stress is killing me on the inside. You know, it's making me, it's going to kill you. Stress is like one of the number one killers in America. You look at the people who live a really old life, and they have a good group of friends, which is really sad that most people in America only have like one or two friends.
Right.
But they have a good group of friends, the centurions. They live a healthy life. They, try to live a stress-free existence. And
right.
The more that you can do, the longer you want to live. I mean.
Do you want to know what happened to me? I mean, it isn't exactly the same. But I spent a week in Ridgeview earlier this year because I was like.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
What set you off?
I don't know exactly, but it turns out that I'm bipolar. You've been completely distracted. I won't even mention why. The listeners can just totally imagine. And by the way, I hope you come back and listen to this and you remember all these awesome moments that we're experiencing.
I'm taking pictures as we talk.
On the Oh, my God, that's so awesome!
So, Ridgeview, tell me.
So it turns out. It turns out that I'm bipolar, and like we always kind of knew that I leaned like towards what they would call manic, very like, what's the word? Just type A, outgoing, kind of always like on kind of guy. But then I hit some super level of it in December. Like I was really kind of out of my mind. Like this, I say this not because it definitely means that, but if you just look at it as a symptom. So like I dyed my hair blonde and I was just like, I was up getting up every day and producing a lot of content, which I thought was great. Like I was like, this is so awesome. I'm up at 5:30 and making videos and And then the crash from that, I was like, I didn't know what the word depressed meant. I just thought it meant sad. But I learned what real depression is. So yeah, man, I spent a week, and that slowed me down a lot. That like sort of, that I think, like you say, what caused it? Like I don't know, like 20 years of stress,
and it just all came out.
Like 10 years of marriage and kids and working for myself and trying to. I think maybe I don't know.
All these things build up and like slowly. It's like that straw that broke the camel's back. That saying, if you actually think what it means, that there's so much weight on it, there's just that one little bit more weight. Causes everything to fall apart.
I couldn't eat another bite. Do you know what that's from? Oh, I think that's the right. Not even a tiny thin wafer.
Oh, yeah. That's one little wafer more.
Exactly.
Mighty Python, man.
Exactly.
Love that guy.
Now, what is this guy riding on? What would you call this?
That is an electric unicycle. I've seen those online. They go for between 2 to 1,000. And you have about 15-mile radius.
Here's the problem with calling it a unicycle. Unicycle equals skills. Okay?
Well. So
that's doing all the work for him.
Unicycle is one cycle wheel.
Yes, but you know what I'm saying.
I do, and that's a terminology. You know, a lot. That's another big.
You don't give a shit. You don't put things. You don't put weight alive.
And there's like so, in circus, you have people who are really skilled performers. They have a skill that they have mastered to the point where it's just watching them looks effortlessly. Like we talked about before on the way to get coffee, juggling 8 clubs looks like it's easy. You know, people are like, wow, it's amazing. It's effortless. But then you have people who are really strong entertainers, who they might only juggle 1 club. However, they juggle it in a really entertaining way that you are captivated by it. You know, but the skillful performer might not necessarily be a good entertainer. You might just watch them for the skill level, but, you know, their stage presence, everything else might be really, like, low. But then you have a really good entertainer, and I think being a good entertainer is more important than the skill. So this person on a unicycle coming by, yes, it's an electric unicycle, and he is technically a unicyclist, but, you know, it's like a, it, is he really an entertainer? Really a, like a skilled performer that you would want to put down money to see and say, wow, this is something I want to see, or is just like a gimmick? Like, I hate to say gimmick, but, like, people will spin fire. Like, poi. I came up doing that with glow sticks in nightclubs, spinning those, and eventually I learned to do a fire. I'm like, ah, fire, it's great. And I think sometimes people who spin a lot, they just jump right into fire because they get the reaction from people. You see someone spinning fire, like, wow, it's fire. And you don't necessarily see beyond the fire and see the technicality and the artistry, and if they are a good entertainer, or if they're just a good performer. Like, do they stand still and just do it, or are they using a fire to mask poor skills and poor stage stuff?
Right. Much like many of today's singers, not all, when they have 35 backup dancers, that's the first thing I think is like, okay, this is a distraction from what's actually going on with them singing. Now, I like a good show, like, and some people do it really well, like name, you know, pop singer X that actually, like, you know, them and their group and what they do with the uniforms, costumes, whatever, and like it's a badass show. I can get behind that. But a lot of times it's like, oh, like, there's 35 people in hoodies because we don't really want to see. But what I gather from you in my I've never seen an actual show of yours. I've seen you teach my kids how to juggle, as we discussed. My guess that you are good at both. Like, you have skill, but I could also have you say, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and be that guy. Yes.
Yes. Do you want ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls?
No, I'm saying, but like that's like you totally like that to me. That's awesome. Because, yeah, like some people, like this happens in business a lot. You got the Wozniak and the Jobs, right? Mm. You got the technical guy and the guy that can schmooze people, or the technical guy and the guy that knows how to beat people up to get stuff done.
Yes.
So I think it's super cool that if you can be technically skilled with many things in your bag. Is this a knife? What is this?
That's a juggling chainsaw blade.
Okay. And getting the crowd around you.
Yes. So I think that elevates people to higher levels. When you have a skilled artist who's really skilled but also knows entertainment, knows acting, knows how to put emotion to stuff. My name is Tim.
Good to meet you.
Good to meet you.
He's an amazing circle. How do you describe yourself if you meet someone on a plane? People always say that, but it doesn't have to be on a plane. When you meet someone at the coffee shop and they say, what do you do for work?
I own a run a circus.
He owns a circus.
It kind of encompasses all we do. Yeah, a lot of stuff.
Yeah, well, that's
well, this is for when I abduct damsels and time the train tracks. So I could go,
I love it.
All right, good to see you, dude. So speaking of which.
Tying damsels to train tracks?
That soap smell is killing me, dude. It's so weird. The look which you currently have, and we'll take a photo at some point. Let's take one now before I forget. Take my glasses off. Gotta have one for the show, as it were. Okay, here we go. Hold mics. Can I do that with my arm? My son does that. He does. You know, the wrestler, the Rock.
Yeah.
It's the opposite eyebrow.
I can't get that one.
Yeah, I can't either. And it's amazing because he's 8 and it's adorable. So the look that you have with the very cool stash and the
samurai top knot. Thank you.
Samurai top knot.
Not a man bun. But I'm a modern day samurai.
Because you're a modern day samurai, motherfucker. But some might, not knowing you, just watching you walk by, that make you, oh, especially in this area, like, oh, another hipster dude. But I'm guessing your look precedes this fashion statement these days called hipster.
I don't know or care enough.
See, as soon as I asked that, I'm like, he's not going to give a shit. He's going to say, I don't fucking care. I do me.
Whatever, man. Let them think whatever they want. If you want to put you in a box and label you a certain way, you know, let them. That's their prerogative. That's not going to affect me one way or the other. Chances are good any of these people might give me a job.
But see, people say that all the time. They say, I don't care what people think about me. And they honestly do. And I believe you figured it out because you actually don't.
Yes, I do care in the sense I'm not going to, you know. Oh, God, man. What did you just hack up? Is that like a alien embryo? Are you okay? Do you need some water?
Have you ever coughed so hard that you almost pass out?
Yes.
Thank you. That wasn't an act, by the way. I really did like almost go unconscious there.
Well, I would.
Hello. Where your shoes at? Oh, okay.
No shoes.
She's got to have her shoes on.
Shoeless day. When I worked for a group in Rhode Island. So when I finished school, I went to Rhode Island.
We're eventually going to finish the story.
Someday.
You're super prepared, too. You've got
the, what is it called, the Nalgene bottle. You've got
water.
You've got clubs. You've got a walking, you have spare batteries.
No spare batteries, but you know, clubs, little iPad thing. I know you can come, and I guess a shirt. I didn't realize that. I don't know. You bring one and you're unprepared, bring two when you're prepared, right? Someone wise told me that once.
One is not, two is one and one is none. Yeah. That is correct.
It's a good saying.
It is, isn't it good? It's military though. And I'm not real big on those military guys can be a little much, but two is one is none. The day that you show up and you have that spare thing, when your thing broke, you go, yep, and you believe it.
Yep.
So you're in Vermont.
Oh,
so the beautiful woods of Vermont.
What is this actually
running nude?
Passing out.
Well, yes.
I did get nude in Vermont. That's another story. But I worked for a place called Clean Water Action in Providence, Rhode Island for a little bit, going door to door, knocking at people's door and asking for money to donate to environmental causes. And speaking of passing out, one day this old lady opens the door. She says, oh, come in. I'm like, okay. And I come in, I start giving a spiel about how water is saving, how she could sign this petition or make a donation. And then we're sitting there in her living room, and she just falls over to the side on her sitting chair. And she stops moving. Her eyes close and her head falls back. I'm like, oh, God. There's plastic on all the windows. So I'm like, it's kind of like hot in there and stuffy anyway. So I'm like, she suffocated. She just died in front of me. And I started freaking out. I started getting all these beads of sweat on me.
Did you think people were going to blame you?
Kind of. You know, I poked her a couple times. I was shaking her. I'm like, this is before, you know, I really had a cell phone or anything like that. So I'm like, I have no idea what to do. And then just as I'm about to run out of the door, she snaps back again. And she's like, oh, hi. And I guess she was just like passing out throughout the day. And I'm like, ugh. So, you know,
did she have narcolepsy?
She was just old, and I didn't really get the full story, and I'm not 100% sure. I told her neighbors to go check on her throughout the day, and when I knocked on their door, and then I was just like, whew. I was like seeing someone like almost pass out in front of you and die. You're like, ugh.
All right, so where were we?
Oh, yeah, so Vermont, yeah. So I fall in love with this lady, and we're supposed to move to Providence, Maine together. So I quit my job, pack up shop, and moved my life from Vermont to Connecticut for a moment to live with my parents because we're going to take this big family trip to Alaska and come back. And then when I come back, then I make the move up to Providence with her.
Okay.
But I get back and she's like, don't come with me. I don't want you to come. And so I was kind of lost. I lived in Hartford, Connecticut with my sister for a bit making web pages. So I'd wake up at, you know.
Were you making good money making web pages? Because this is like a time when you could do that.
Kind of. This is like when WordPress just started really getting groovy, right. So I started using that. I still do a little coding in PHP, but it's too much stuff. But, you know, you'd wake up at 5 in the morning, and you'd work until like 3, and you'd 2 hours of sleep, and you'd just geek out. But then there was an ad in the paper saying Cirque du Soleil was looking for people, and so I applied with them and got the job as a photographer and ran away with them for a year on the road, and that inspired me to start a circus.
Did you travel the world?
Not the world, just a year on the road. So like the East Coast. I think it was like Philadelphia, then Chicago. And
now, I understand that to work for those guys, to be a performer, it's like a year of like training and learn their way and blah, blah, blah. Photographer was just answering an ad and you're on the road with them?
Yeah, well, it wasn't like a high-level photographer. I did take pictures of some of their shows and like parties and events. More as like when guests were coming in, you take their pictures, you get everyone together, you give them a card, and they get to then get a printout of the picture at the end for
All right, so pretty simple. Yeah. So for highly inflated price. But that was enough to make you go, holy cow, I want to run away with the circus?
Well, what's nice about it is you get to see the eyes and the expressions and the people coming. And you get to see these waves of people every day, 3 shows. So you take maybe 300-400 photos and you see these families together. And then you see them leaving and you see them during the show at intermission time. And you see their eyes light up and that little bit of sparkle inside them that they've just witnessed something. And it changed them in a lot of ways. Like, I tell you a story of how this affected me modern. Like, not that story, but how circus stuff. One day I was at the one over here, the coffee shop, right over here-ish, Inman Perk. I was there drinking some coffee, and I walked outside to make a phone call.
Is that the dog one or no? No, that's
Inman Perk, right over here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right down the Beltline a little bit, around the corner.
Right.
Yeah, and there was this lady outside. She was smoking a cigarette, too, and I'm just like, she looks really sad. So I walk over and do this little magic trick. I carry magic tricks with me because it's fun, you know? And it shocked her a little bit. It was great. And we got talking. We talked about politics, life, and this and that and other things. And, of course, my leave hands on my business card always because that's what I do. And I get home, and there's an email in my inbox. It turns out that she was fighting with her roommates and having a really bad day, and she was just really down on the world, really pissed off. And this experience flipped her. And so she went home and she made peace with her roommates and she had friends and she like wrote me to say thank you for that moment. And so the I think circus provides people those moments to like change them and off balance them. Another analogy, do you know what judo is?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, judo is the art of throwing people, right? And so in judo, if like, you're a big guy, if I wanted to...
Stop right there. No one has ever said that about...
Just like a...
I'm an average-sized human. Hello.
Hi. Good. Would you say he's an average-sized human?
He said I was a big guy. Look at me. I'm 5'10". I'm like an average dude, right? Nobody's described me as a big guy. Anyway. Right, exactly.
Then he said, enormous
guy. Do you have some Reynolds wrap I can borrow? Yeah. Oh, I'm just kidding.
Wrap it up.
Okay, so I'm not a...
You're a lot of guy.
Not really, but okay.
Okay, anywho. So if I wanted to throw you, it'd be tricky. If you don't want to be thrown, if you lock yourself in, that's what I'm trying to get at.
Right.
So then judo is a process of balancing, where you break their center of gravity, and you can load them up pretty easily on you, and you can toss them. And I think circus, a lot of people in life, like if they're in an angry mood, they're angry. And if you go over and say, be happy, they're not going to be happy.
No.
No. However, if you do like a little magic trick, make them laugh, and you smile, you off-balance them. And then when they're off-balance, you could set them in a better path.
I once heard it is impossible to jump on a trampoline and frown.
Maybe, yeah, because when you go up, I think your cheeks naturally flop
you're
up.
Just, your body's experiencing fucking fun, man. That's the lesson.
Yeah.
Like, if you're bummed out, get on a trampoline.
Bounce around a little bit.
Actually, maybe if people just suffering for depression, actually, I should have tried that myself. We'll see how it works when you're super depressed. Maybe not, but...
There's the trampoline space. What's it called? Up there in Woodstock? No, Woodstock. It's like a big trampoline park. You go and it's all trampoline paths.
Yeah.
Bouncing.
Yeah. Marietta, Woodstock. Anything outside the perimeter to me is like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, Deliverance area.
Exactly.
I'm just kidding. If you live out there, don't be mad.
It's okay. No. I'm firmly entrenched in ITP and I'm totally okay with it. I have many friends. Some friends live out OTP. So you're on the road with Cirque du Soleil.
Yeah.
And then what happens?
Well,
But you already knew magic.
No.
You said you showed this lady a magic trick.
Well, that's a story after I finished the circus here in town. Yeah.
Okay, so you're...
I didn't know anything then. Okay. I mean, I did a little poi spinning, a little contact ball.
Poi spinning?
Poi, P-O-I. A story about fire spinning before. It's like a long chain with a ball at the end. It comes kind of from Polynesia, and I used to do it with coconuts and as a way for warriors to keep themselves in shape.
Got it. Those things.
Yeah. So they do a lot of glow sticks at nightclubs or raves, the strings with glow sticks and spin them around.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that's like the only things I really did. But in one day I was in D.C., and as most people do at any show, they start complaining about things, and I was doing that. And this one guy was like, well, Guy Liberde has a saying that if you don't like the way things are done, go start your own circus. And I was looking for something in my life, and much like the straw and the camel as we talked about.
Because he was unhappy with Barnum & Bailey or Ringling Brothers or whatever he had witnessed.
Oh, Guy Liberde?
Yeah.
Oh, no, he was a street performer in Montreal.
Oh, that's right, that's right.
He brought everyone together and was like, I have this vision for a circus, let's do it. And they went to the city of Montreal, they already passed their budget for the year, and they really believed in him, so they gave him $1 million. He took that show eventually to Vegas, they made it big, and here it is.
Now he's an effing billionaire.
Yeah, he sold it recently.
He did?
Yeah, the Chinese investment group, I want to say.
Why would he do that?
Well, he's cashing out to work and other things. It's worth a couple $1 billion, so he sells his place in it, still has the name and the title, but gets all the money.
Okay, I guess that's not bad.
Yeah, I could be wrong with that, so if I am, you know.
I would say I'll put that in the show notes, because people always say that. Do you listen to many podcasts?
No.
Okay.
Well, I will listen to these.
In the podcast world, people will put basically a link that's basically for further information.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I would put your website, for example, which I will probably remember to do. But there's like 10 other things that people do. Like, oh, you mentioned this book by so-and-so. We'll link that, blah, blah. I never remember, and nobody reads show notes anyway. So on my show, it's called The Show Notes That Nobody Reads. So in the show notes that somebody reads, I will put your – is it imperialopa.com?
Theimperialopa.com, yes.
I'll put that, and if I do remember, I'll put something about Guy. But, you're giving me a card. Maybe. See, I have one of these already, but I never keep cards anymore.
They're fun. You hand them out to people. And
no, but so, people go, what's your, and I go, here, put your, like I did to that girl. I go, here, put your thing right there.
That's not fun. This gives people a little bit of magic. They take home and they leave in their pocket. They find it 3 years later.
Can you make this disappear, like in front of me? Can you do something?
No, I'm not that magician. He's on next week, remember?
Are you a Penn & Teller fan?
I've seen a few of their episodes. I like it, yeah.
Yeah.
They're groovy.
Well, you say episodes. They've got, like, big Vegas shows. They've got TV stuff.
I think, well, they're, you know, illusionists. There's a grand scale.
Right.
And
hello.
Hi.
Hi. Thanks.
People love you.
But they do some great stuff.
And you know what I just realized, by the way, speaking of not caring what people think? These socks are pretty horrendous. And
they're great, man.
And I don't care, so I think that means I must be getting, because I'm like, yeah. I looked down and I was like, wow, these things are pretty horrendous.
Well, so if your listeners don't know, it's their yellow socks with an Argyle-type print on them. with orange shoes, so they look kind of groovy.
I think they're waffles.
Waffle socks?
These might be waffle socks. Are you a fan of Waffle House?
Back in the day, yes, but now I try and shift more towards a plant-based diet, and those foods are kind of unhealthy.
I don't think I can speak to you anymore.
What?
I don't think I can speak to you anymore.
That's okay.
We'll have no plant-based diets here. You can get a piece of lettuce there. It won't be very good, but...
Lettuce, yes.
I mean, that's the problem with places that, like, if you go to, like, a diner and you're like, oh, I'll just have, like, the salad. The salad is, like, the one set of ingredients that they could give a shit about. So it's, like, the worst lettuce, the worst. Whereas you get a nice, juicy burger or a big, you know, bowl of whatever.
Well, it depends. You know, like, I want to live for a while. I want to have a high quality of life and keep entertaining and being on as long as possible. And the diets that we use in America are just crushing people on the inside. It's making health problems, mental issues. And, you know, once again, you look at centurions, where people around the world, where there's more centurions living.
Do they live to be 100? Is that what you're calling centurions?
Yeah. People live to be 100 or more. And then you say, why are these people living so long? What are they doing in these areas that are inspiring this life? And there are so many different reasons. And diet is a big thing. More plant-based diet reduces cancers, reduces a lot of other health issues. I mean, I don't have health insurance. I do high-risk activities. I have to be on every day, so I have to be on my top of my game. I don't want to slip, you know?
Do you have life insurance?
No.
Is it because they find out what you do and then it's not?
It's all finances. Right now, the circus is in a point where we are getting ready to take the next step. We're assembling a board of advisors to help us make the next path. We have a 5-point program we're trying to launch. We are launching. That'll hopefully generate more income so that we could build to more sustainable model.
Well, here's the good news. Health insurance may be expensive. Life insurance is super cheap.
I know, but it's like, it's my parents, they get at me all day, like, Tim, get health insurance.
No, I'm not saying health insurance, I'm saying life insurance.
I know, as you get it, so it gets money when you die, and you get
so money somebody gets it. But I guess if you don't have kids, like I have a wife and kids, so I think about it a lot.
Yeah.
Now here's the good news, right? I recently, as I mentioned earlier, had some mental health issues.
Yeah.
So I went to Ridgeview. I got a medication. I was on some meds. I got on some new meds. So when I went to the insurance company, the life insurance company, I said, hey, I'd like some life insurance. They go, well, you've recently had a big change in your mental thing and whatever, so you don't get it. Hmm. So the word is uninsurable. Now, hello.
Hi.
Now, you would think, here's a person looking out for himself, taking the correct medication so that he stays, you know, mentally sound and like lives a random person taking who knows what drugs, that person is insurable.
Right.
But me, is that not insane? Is that not an insane state of our affairs today?
Also,
by the way, I run 20 to 30 miles a week. I'm healthier than most people, but I can't get life insurance.
Can't get life insurance.
Because I recently had a mental state. So isn't that insane?
That is bullshit. And I think that's one of the biggest issues that we have.
She's still not wearing shoes.
No shoes. They're taking life in their hand.
She doesn't care.
Throw care to the wind.
She don't care. What were you saying?
Life insurance?
Yes, that it's like... And by the way, I thought about, what if I lied? And my friend who actually works for life insurance company is like, oh no, they track that shit down.
They do.
Like you can't, like once upon a time, maybe you could. Once upon a time, maybe you could say like, just put down whatever. Now you can't. They will find that shit.
I see the point of it, but there's a Doctor Who episode. Do you watch Doctor Who?
I don't, but I will be enlightened.
Okay, so there's a Doctor Who episode where he meets his River Song, which is his wife from the future, but he hasn't met her yet. They actually get together in the future, but you know the way time works, he's a time traveler. So he meets her actually at the point in her life where when she dies, right before she dies, and she has a
diary.
That
sounds not very fun.
Well, she knows now that he's gonna see her and meet her at some other point, and they're gonna have a whole relationship together. Time traveling. It's, I don't know, it's fun. The ebb and flow of time. But she has a diary with her that lists all the stories that they'll have together. So this is like they're going to have 60 years or something of adventures together, and she has a diary of all adventures they took. And so he can see that or not, you know, read it or not. But by reading the future then becomes permanent.
He shouldn't read it. He shouldn't read it.
Right. Then the future is open to anything. But when we see the future, like Schrodinger's cat, it's alive or dead in the box. You don't know until you look at it. So the future, you don't know what's going to be until you look at it. And by looking at, saying, life insurance, I mean, granted, we may all die at some point. Who knows? But by looking at it, you're now saying, yes, I'm saying I'm going to die. I don't necessarily. I know it's kind of weird, and probably some people are now cringing, like, "Oh, you're gonna die someday. You're gonna get
sick."
No.
I realize honestly that without a wife or kids, I probably wouldn't have it. Because the point is that my wife doesn't have income right now. She doesn't work. So that if I die tomorrow, she'd have money. That's the whole point. However, I want to know what your thoughts are on the new Doctor Who.
I don't watch the new one too much.
There's some big up in arms. It's a woman, and people were going nuts.
Oh.
Do you know Doctor Who was a woman? You didn't know that?
I didn't know that. No, I geek out every now and then, but then most of the time I'm behind the computer typing.
Do you attend Comic-Con or Dragon-Con or any of the cons?
Yes, I break into that every year. If anyone has an extra ticket they can give me, I'll go with them this year as well.
Do you dress as anything?
Usually as a pirate.
Because?
Because I have a lot of in my apartment, I have a loft over by Magic City. And
Hang on a second. We're almost neighbors.
You live by Magic City?
I'm in West End. I'm like 5 minutes from Magic City.
Oh, I'm like a block from Magic City. It's a great place. That's where trap music was invented.
Dude, tell people what trap music is.
I don't really know. But it was invented there. There's a trap house up there.
I've actually not been to the trap house.
I have not. I driven past it one day.
I should get that guy in the podcast.
Yeah.
This is the Atlanta podcast. Did you know that?
I thought this was the Georgia podcast.
It's the Atlanta podcast.
The one with the good logo, I hear.
The one with the rockin' logo. I'm in the West End, so I'm not too far from Magic City. You want to tell people what Magic City is, at least? Non-Atlanta residents?
As I found out, it's not a magic club. Don't go there expecting to see a magic show.
Correct.
Yes. Well, it is magical in some sense.
Right.
But it is a crazy strip club, and I hear they have a $10,000 Mondays where you have to put $10,000 down to get in the door on Monday.
That's not true.
Maybe. I don't know. That's what people tell me. I'm like, hey, okay.
That's not true.
Well, you know from experience then.
I have not been. Now, once upon a time, little Atlanta history, Atlanta was the Mecca. Did you know this?
For
strip clubs.
Oh, I could believe that, yeah.
Atlanta was, you would hear football play, like when all the shit went down with, like, I forgot who it was, I forgot what football player it was New York Giant that got in big trouble. It was down here. The Gold Club was like,
yeah,
it was like amazing stuff. But then, like, much like, you know, New York City shutting down, we kind of had our little shutdown, and now there's a few left. Like, even, you know, in that song Girls, 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 rocking in Atlanta at Tattletales.
Oh, no kidding.
Tattletales. I have not been in many years. Many years ago, as I think, I don't know, that's when you go and you're in your 20s. I don't know. I haven't been in a really long time. But Magic City is, I don't think there's any white dancers there. There might be. Also, near my house, close to my house, is Peaches.
Oh, yeah. I've driven past that a few times.
Right? So that's totally my hood. And at one point, I know my kids are going to ask, and I'll have to tell them, like, yeah, that's where people get naked for money, I guess.
I mean, I see the interest in it, but like I go there and it's just like, this is just a huge waste of money. I'm throwing money down to have someone who pretend to like me, and yeah, I get it. It's fun.
Well, it's fun. Like, anybody that goes to them on the regular has some issues. Like, if you go because it's somebody's bachelor party, that's totally, like, that's what it's for.
Right.
But, like, if you know one of those dudes, like, goes a lot, it's like, those aren't, like, nobody, like, there's not a lot of happiness there on either side of the pole.
Right.
So, no judgment, just.
Judgment free. I mean, hey, each their own. If it makes them happy in life, they find enjoyment, I think go for it.
Have you been to the Comedy and Magic Club? Speaking of, you've named things that have the word magic in the title? The
Comedy and Magic Club. Is that the one at the hospital up here?
No, it's in Los Angeles.
Oh, no. The Magic Castle, you mean?
There's the Magic Castle.
Yeah.
And then in Hermosa Beach, there's the Comedy and Magic Club.
Oh. There's actually a magic club here in town. There's a couple of magic societies.
Is that place in Marietta still there? Eddie's Trick Shop? Is that still there?
Yeah, Eddie's Trick Shop's still there.
That's another future guest for the show. I should get Eddie from... Is there an Eddie?
I asked that question. I think so. I think he's the original one's out in Decatur.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think there's like two of them. One out there and the one up the other... Yeah, ask the illusionist next week.
I'm going to have to ask him. I'm sure it'll come up.
Where
the hell were we?
I got sidetracked.
I was very sidetracked. I should have waited. I should have got my coffee and then waited so, like, right at this point of the interview, we could get a jolt!
And focus again. Whoosh. Oh, we're talking about a lot of great things.
You were talking about you were a photographer, you saw the sparkle in people's eye, and you thought, by the way, another good analogy, you don't like it, have your own circus? A friend of mine said this once, right? You ready for this?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not that original. People say it all the time, blah, 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 blah. But people complain, right? Show up to a party, right?
Yeah.
You know what? I come to a party. You know what I really love? Cheetos. This party doesn't have any fucking Cheetos, man.
Cheetos.
They got Doritos. They've got... Sorry, I already told it wrong. Damn it. I'm not going to rewind it. You know what I really like? Cheese doodles.
Cheese doodles.
This party has Doritos. This party has hot dogs. But I really love cheese doodles.
Okay.
And I want them at this party. And then someone would say, you know what? At the next party, why don't you bring the cheese doodles? And then that way you'll know the cheese doodles will be at the party.
Bring your own cheese doodles.
Bring your own cheese doodles. So you're at somewhere. You clearly already embody this. You're somewhere that's negative. Bring the joy. Bring the happiness, right?
Yeah.
Bring you some places like it's too heavy. Bring something like bring the light. So like start your own circus. Bring your own cheese doodles, man. Don't fucking complain about it.
These are my own cheese doodles, yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Just bring your own cheese doodles. And then guess what? The party has cheese doodles.
Well, that's the amazing thing. Our society has opened up so many doors. While it seems like there's less doors, there are so many doors for people to do whatever you just want. Like we talked about on the way to get coffee. So many of these other podcasts are starting. They're, you know, eh. But, you know, it's their option, though. They could do it. They could start.
Right.
You could start your own anything company. Elon Musk, the SpaceX guy.
Elon Musk, but okay, very close.
Yeah. Elon. I use the southern pronunciation.
Do you have competitors here in Atlanta?
There are other
people. Do you have fighting circuses? Circi? What's plural circuses?
Circi, yeah. A tent of circuses?
No, seriously. What's the plural of circus?
It's like a murder of crows. It's a tent of circuses.
Are you being serious? You're fucking joking.
I might be kidding, yeah.
Okay.
But hey, we'll start that now. I don't think there's a plural verb.
What about those guys who actually, speaking of the West End, there's that kind of old kind of, probably what this used to look like.
Yeah.
You know that spot?
Blue I saw them. Blue Tower Gallery?
What's it called?
Blue Tower?
No. I saw them out there once and they were doing some cool shit. And I was like, oh, what are you guys? And they're like, oh, we're a cool fucking space, man.
What? Where's that along?
Eileen Street. It's where the new Beltline is.
I don't know.
I'll show you on a map.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've heard of them.
There's like a bunch of sculptures out back.
No? Yes.
I don't know.
They have like one of these. Like this is like outside, and then inside is just a huge space. And then like they were performing out on this. It's called Glass Door, Back Door, Tiny Door, something door.
I don't know.
Okay, you don't know those guys. Are there other circuses in town?
Well, there are groups that have circus-like performers.
Right.
There are other companies like The Space, which is an aerial arts studio, so people do practice aerial arts along with other circus skills there. And there are performers in town, other collections of performers. But I don't think anyone kind of plays in the same sphere we do, to the level that we do, plus with the direction and motivation that we're going in. That, like, we
do
want.
You have like a Lex Luthor? Is there somebody that's like, oh boy?
There are people who I feel in our town are, because I think our biggest competitor are people who are bad entertainers or people who do clients bad. Because if you have a bad artist or a bad,
it gives everybody the bad name,
right? And then people are like, I don't want to hire any more of these people, so it fucks us all over. So in that sense, yes, there are some people in town who threaten to sue me and owe me money for performances I've done. They're doing bad things to drive down business, and you know they just are doing bad things. You know, I wouldn't, you know, I'm not saying Lex Luthor, like they're out to kill me, but maybe they are. I know they talk shit about me a lot because, you know, in a small room with a lot of toes, you step on toes.
Would you believe I got physically elbowed recently?
Where? How?
At an obstacle race. I was looking at my phone. So one of the things I do at races is we do the social media, right?
Yeah.
Like, hey, this guy just won the race. So I'm down there looking at my phone like this, da-da-da, and I feel this, like, you know what I mean? And at first it was like, oh, like somebody accidentally walked by me. Although it would be like if I was standing there and it happened. You could have easily gone around me is the point.
Right.
And I look up and just look back down. But then when I look again, I won't get into who it is and all that because I'm actually talking about it on my other podcast.
Oh.
But it's like guy who clearly doesn't like me. Like high school style guy,
right?
And I couldn't believe this thing happened, right? Like who's that juvenile? And I was telling a friend of mine, and I was like, dude, like, can you believe this guy, blah, blah. And he goes, Matt, you do know you piss people off, right? I'm like, oh, no, of course. Like, I get, like, there are people who do not like me. Yeah. Totally okay with that. But was quite surprised that somebody actually took it to that at this age of our life. He might be in his 20s. Anyway, past school, I was shocked that somebody wanted to physically do me harm. Right. And, like, throw the proverbial high school elbow at me.
It's people have such crazy minds. I do martial arts. I'm going for my black belt in September.
Okay, so let's just rewind here, okay? You know how to design. You can code.
A little bit. I'm going to call myself a coder now, but yeah. A little bit.
You juggle things, right?
Yes.
You know martial arts. Although those are kind of similar. I don't know. You do a lot of cool things.
Well, physical things. When you start moving your body learns.
Do you do yoga?
Acro yoga a little bit.
Okay. But do you, like, do yoga as a meditation?
Not as a meditation. It's a stretch. Like, I had lower back issues for a while.
Right.
And I started doing some good stretches with that, along with this really awesome topical cream. It sounds weird, but it's called Penetrex. It's awesome. It's not like a Tylenol, but actually goes through your skin, helps muscles relax and heal. I recommend it if you have any pains in
this
your body.
This episode not sponsored by Penetrex.
Not sponsored.
Can you throw swords or knives or axes?
No, but I work with some people who do world record sword swallowing. A guy named Chris Steele. He holds a record for the most swords in his mouth at the same time.
Is that his real name?
Yeah.
Chris Steele.
Captain Stab Tuggo and his partner, wife, Maybell. Awesome. He also has a record for swallowing swords underwater. And if you know about sword swallowing, you have to open your mouth and stick a sword in. And that's where air usually comes in and out. So you're underwater sword swallowing. It's amazing.
You just totally creep me out.
Oh, dude, when the sword goes in, you can see it
so
beating.
So when you say people that owe you money, is this like you performed and like you got like a down payment? We're supposed to get the rest and they didn't pay?
Well,
like,
they were friends at one point. You know,
oh,
if you're a friend,
man.
You hire me. I'm like, okay, you know, I trust that you'll pay me. It's groovy because, you know, I don't know, sometimes you're waiting for the client to pay you. Then you have to pay me. So it's like this cycle and, hey, you know, whatever. It's cool. I'm going to work with you because we're friends. But then you do it, and then they say, well, I'm not going to pay you because you breached your contract in a way which actually didn't happen because I got them more work, which gets them more money, which is good. They should be happy. Oh, it's got you a free, you know, $400 for you to have to do anything. And so they get mad at me then for that to send and say, well, now you breached your contract. I'm not going to pay you. Plus, I'm going to put a lawsuit on you for doing this. And you're like, whoa.
Well, people threaten to sue all the time. These people have actually sued you?
It came pretty close. And
yeah.
At one point, I'm just like, you know what? How much is my time worth?
Right.
Is this, they owe me like $600, $800 for that time, which they're refusing to pay. So it's like, okay, my time is at least worth, I think, $100 an hour at the minimum. So this would take more than 6 hours, more than 2 days, plus the stress and the tension. It's just not worth it for me to pursue this anymore. So that person just cut out my life and, you know, move on because we're doing great things. And if people want to come along for the ride, come along.
So what are the great things that you're up to
at this point,
the Imperial Opa Circus?
Opa! Well, we're getting ready to launch a five-phase thing. I don't want to go into too many details out because we're...
Because it's top secret?
It's not top secret, but we're...
Middle secret?
Well, I'll tell you about it. Why not?
It's sure.
So I think...
Middle secret, that's going to be a name of a band or a restaurant. I like
middle
that.
Middle secret?
Like, not the top secret, but it's the middle secret. Go ahead.
It's Middle Earth. Middle secret. Middle of the road. Well, five things. We're...
What is going on here? Are they training this dog?
I think the dog is training that guy.
Do you think he's an accountant?
He's totally an accountant.
Okay. He's 9, by the way. Go ahead.
Well, you know, there are 3 types of people in the world. 3 types. Those who can count and those who can't. So anytime I see an accountant, I'm always excited that they might be able to count.
Go ahead.
Okay, well, so 5 things. I think a strong community.
Right.
So we're building a strong circus community because from circus communities, new ideas come, kind of like a primordial ooze of sorts. Ideas and new creatures emerge from it, which I think is wonderful. The second thing is a strong booking agency to book these artists, which we do now. We have a really strong booking company that we keep developing to push forward stronger because that now gives more validity to people who learn circus arts and they see it less as an oddity and a hobby and more as a way to make an income. However, that kind of hits a wall when these artists now can't get training. Because then they can't get the bigger jobs because they're only folks that could do only something on a small level. So a circus school is the next big thing. Now it gives a place for community and for artists to train and get better. And beyond that, kind of what we're seeing now in our local market is that there's a lot of really skilled artists. However, there's not a lot of jobs because a skilled artist takes most of the jobs, which makes the pie slices less for everyone else to take. So the next phase is to do a touring show where you take a show out on the road. And now an artist can focus on one act and not have to keep redeveloping and redeveloping a new act every few weeks to keep their, you know, local clients happy. So they could spend a few months on the road developing one solid act. However, touring circus only goes for some of the year. And if it misses a couple nights, it could hurt financially. So I think the last phase is to have a strong local show, like a cabaret performance bar. And that's what we're, these are all things we're building. So now you have a new person who could learn, who could then develop an act on the road and come back and perform it locally.
Do you work with the burlesque people?
We do work with a lot of burlesque people, yes.
Because it's all sort of in the sort of like variety, not typical, whatever, I don't know, rock and roll show? I don't know, just like...
You'll get some circus purists who say burlesque and variety are not circus arts because they were like vaudeville and different things. However, I think that they all are together. If you come out and you're amazed and you're wondered and you're filled with inspiration and you see this awesome show, then yes, I think that's, you know, a circus.
We haven't told your origin story. We might never, by the way. I'm totally okay with that.
Okay, the mystery.
But at any point, either origin or what, have you ever like done just this true busking thing? Just put yourself down in a corner and been like, let me see what I can do? Because that stuff is, that to me is like all balls, dude. Well, whether it's telling yourself, yeah. Whether it's telling jokes or spinning plates or whatever, just like to watch someone do that, to watch, even in a touristy area, I've watched people, New Orleans, Boston, like go from zero to 100 people. Mm-hmm. It's pretty impressive. So have you done that?
Not at that level. You know, I've done it here in Atlanta. I set up different street corners. I sometimes try it with a fiddle or a concertina and I play, or I try juggling and talking to people. And you know that? It's got me a little bit. I've also, at the music festivals in Piedmont Park, I'd set up and I'd juggle knives and sickles and, you know, make 30, 40 bucks an hour doing it. But then the people who are really skilled with it, you know, I think that's definitely a skill to be able to talk people, build a crowd, prime them for giving you tips and money, and then at the end asking for it and then filling your bucket, you know. And people who are skilled with busking can make, you know, a good living doing it.
You know, I just thought of, you don't see that here. And I would say like, oh, it's because this Beltline is so sanitary, but I just don't think people have tried it because there's not like a lot of cops nearby like to actually like get, like if you're in the middle of the Beltline, right? And let's say you were, I don't know, you were good at it or not good at it and someone just thought, hey, this isn't cool. Anyway, maybe you could start the thing. Maybe the Beltline would become like the Venice Beach of Atlanta.
Well, people do a little busking down here at the bridge by the skate park.
They do?
Yeah, you have musicians to set up there all the time and they play with the...
Oh, yeah, I have seen that because my son actually was playing flag football over there and I saw some... musicians-ish. You know what I always find funny is like there's so many like air quotes models, right? And I'm like, my thing, tell you a little bit about me.
Please.
I run, and so I will, when I'm on my runner and I'm like super sweaty, I'm like, hey, if you let me photobomb, I guarantee you like people will love this photo. And I did it a couple times, and sure enough, like somebody's wedding photos, like somebody tagged me. It was like, I know, that's Matt. It was like so cool because like they looked really good and they were totally cool. They let me like ham it up behind them. But like... over there, and then, you know, like Krog Street, you know, under the bridge, like it's like some fucking model, like
every
trying
day.
To. Oh my God, God bless him. Right?
I love it, yeah.
Right?
Totally.
Oh, this is what I was going to ask you. In terms of the internet world, the word circus may not be searched for that often. Like, what do you want to be found for? Like, for you to get business? Atlanta performers, Atlanta jugglers, like what are you trying to, like you know a thing or two about the internet because you've worked on it for a while, so like what do you want to be searched for?
I think people do search for circus.
Okay.
You know, I do a little affiliate marketing online.
Okay.
So I do link building and black hat and white hat stuff, you know, so I kind of see where they're going.
You don't seem like a black hat kind of guy, but okay.
Well, it's fun. I mean.
Except that the Google monster will shut you down and then you're fucked.
Well, if you do it the wrong way, if you use like... spam links, yeah, but there's clever ways to go about it.
Okay, so what terms are you trying to get good for SEO?
Well, Atlanta Circus, yes.
Okay.
Well, Imperial Opa rank high up there. For a while, Corporate Entertainment Atlanta, we had like a number 5 spot, but then we dropped down a little bit. But yeah, Atlanta Circus, or just Circus, would be a fun keyword
But you've got to know what the other ones are then.
Yeah, most of them are actually ticket sales. If you type in Atlanta Circus, you'll get like... Ringling Brother ticket sales or
right.
Cirque du Soleil ticket sales.
No, but I'm saying, but what do you, what words do you say? Some you know because you're doing it, so you must know. Is the word juggler? Is the word circus performer? Is the word sword swallower? Like, what?
People search for all these different things, like fire artists. Fire artists sometimes. They search for, you know, aerial artists, or people do. They have an event and they're like, we're doing a circus themed event. Oh, circus artists. And then you have to also think about what keywords people are buying. Keywords, you know, like Corporate Entertainment Atlanta. Someone who is like you or I is not going to search for that, but someone does corporate events is going to be like, I'm doing
But they could be looking for a million things that you're not, though.
But there's a one thing in the millionth it might be.
No, no, no. I'm saying like that's got to be a pretty hardcore term to get, because that is comedians and chefs and who knows what that people don't even know. And they go, oh, actually circus, that'd be super cool.
Yeah.
So when people contact you, I'm just throwing this out there. Like I'm guessing like you're X amount to get you, but then they might want three other people. And you just charge for the whole thing and pay them out? Or, like, you get a cut of what they do? Like, how do you... Because you're the CEO?
Yeah, founder, creative director, whatever. Whatever word you want to use.
Well, you used artistic director here, which I like.
That's fun.
Right? How about just... How about... What if you just put your Timothy Mac? What if you just put Mac Daddy?
For a while, I had...
Circus Mac Daddy.
It's... It doesn't have anything to it.
No.
Yeah, but, like, it's good vision, good direction.
Right.
We workshop that a little bit.
Right.
For a while, I had a card that said...
That's workshop it.
Let's workshop it.
Is that what you say to your students? You know what? That's just... If this one has a shitty idea, let's workshop it. Just like a way to like kick it down the street.
I work at the World of Coke with a group called Out of Hand Theater. Amazing group of people. But that was a joke we had like a couple weeks ago. We were hanging out there working, entertaining kids in line and stuff. And we're in the back room. And we just did some bad jokes. And I'm like, well, Tim, keep workshopping that one. And so that
right.
terminology is in my brain right now.
Well... Okay, so I come to your site, parties, corporate events, fundraisers, and more. So do you have, like, off-the-shelf stuff, or is it mostly like, I have no idea what I want, and then you say, hey, listen, I can bring one guy for this much money, I can bring three people for this much money?
All of that. Like, usually I like to ask people what their budget is.
Right.
Because we do work with people who are still new,
right.
and then we work with people who are really seasoned. So, you know, we could assemble a good package for someone that encompasses all that, that maybe pairs a really seasoned person that might be more expensive with a newer person who's, like, less expensive, and you still get more value. And, you know, we could just parse it out by the hour, but that usually costs more. So you say, this is my package. I have $5,000 or $10,000 or $50,000 to spend. I want to do this big event. What can you make happen for that? Okay, let's turn around, and we could do this,
all right,
and that.
All right, I'm going to give you this one, all right?
Lay it on me.
We have no budget. And we're a nonprofit. We give to really good causes. So give me the nothing price. What do you do with that?
Well, I mean...
Because I get that a lot, so...
It's great. And I like to ask people in for an honorarium of some sort. Because artists do have to spend gas to get there. And artists are not...
You don't say no?
Well, I say if you have an honorarium of some sort, something I can then offer my people. Because it is good.
So then you bring it to them and say, you want to do this gig for this? For gas money? And they say yes, then you do. And if they say no, then you come back to them and say no?
It really depends. Because also, no one we work with is on contract. They're all independent contractors.
1099?
Yes.
Right?
And so... You know, I leave it a lot up to them. I say, you know, we've been presented with this. Oh. He's walking his case taking his case for
he's
a
taking
while.
His case to court.
Yeah.
So you don't ever say, you know what, I wish you the best, but we're not for you because that's not going to work for us.
Sometimes I do, yes.
Okay.
But sometimes, I mean, if they're really a groovy cause, you know, also if they're raising money as a fundraiser and they're charging money, they might have a little bit of a budget in there. It's a nice hoop.
What's going on?
Oh, I'm a performer.
Oh, awesome.
But I'm working with... Sorry.
So is awesome. So is my friend Tim here.
Oh, what do you do?
I run a circus in town.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's an LED hoop, yeah.
I just found this one. But I play around. I like to build stuff, so...
Right on.
Yeah. So I'm just helping with apartments.
Free
and
hula hoop.
And you found a free hula hoop?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, we clean them out, and the people that just leave stuff, so...
Yeah.
So that's awesome. So what kind of like performing stuff do you do?
Well, I do a lot of things. Let's see. Well, I'm working on acrobatics. Oh, okay.
Right.
I'm working on acrobatics. Been doing like contortion work for a long time.
Do you take applications?
Well, I don't live here though. I live in California.
Oh.
California.
Yeah, I'm visiting.
Okay.
But you know what?
I thought this was going to be one of those things where she like you. So he owns a circus.
Okay.
And I thought this is going to be one of those things where like it's the chance meeting. I was actually cleaning apartments. And then I grew up to be the star of the circus because I happened to walk by and see Tim from the Opa dude.
You never know.
Never know.
I'll still take it.
Take his card.
I will gladly.
So I'm fascinated by this. Can you take a moment? Are you in the middle of your shift? I don't want you to get in trouble either. You're a good employee. That's a good good work ethic. So contortionist means what exactly?
Oh, I just like to stretch. I've always been really flexible. I've done ballet for over 10 years, so it kind of just came natural. And it actually, ballet runs in my family. So, yeah.
How long are you in Georgia?
I'll
I'll be here till September.
Okay.
Yeah, I help run the maintain the properties here.
Okay. So. Well, I think you should still reach out to my friend here for the month that you're here, because you never know.
I will. Gladly.
So we meet up on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Okay. $10 to come on down and train with us.
I used to live in this building.
Nice.
Yeah, apartment C. Yeah.
Do you know Tandy?
Yeah.
Yeah, wonderful. She worked with us for a while. Wonderful lady. She's in Athens now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, my name is Egypt, and that's my real name.
Hey, Egypt.
Nice to meet you. Hi.
That is so cool.
Thank you.
I like that you say, and that is my real name.
Well, people always ask me, so I just kind of...
And how old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm just turned 26.
Oh, my goodness.
Last Monday.
Okay. And what are... And so you come to Georgia for the summer?
To visit my grandmother. She has cancer, so I just come and hang out and just help out, work, you know, do whatever I can to help.
All right.
Yeah. Nice.
We'll go... You
make
should,
art.
That's awesome.
Make art.
Life.
That's awesome.
Thank you. Well,
Egypt.
Yes. We'll see you around.
It's nice meeting you.
If you're done working and we're still sitting here, come chat with us.
Okay. Well, I'm kind of at their mercy, but I'm always here, so.
Okay, well, I'll see you around.
Okay, well, it's very nice meeting both of you.
Very nice meeting you.
Thank you.
Take care.
Likewise.
Have a safe day.
You too.
See, circus people are everywhere.
Right, I didn't want to blow up your spot, right?
Okay.
I didn't want to be like, oh, well, you should definitely talk to him, but like, because you weren't reaching up for your card or anything. So then I was like, oh, but you should talk to him, probably.
Well, I'm always curious to meet people. And
So I just interrupted you before you could answer. So you found that if you just made it, I'm guessing, if you just made it open invitation, it doesn't really work. They gotta have some skin in the game and at least pay the $10 to show up. That's, I'm guessing, why you did it that way.
Well, so I, in my learning to do things,
right.
I open up and offer people things really fast, and like, because I want to give people things. So one of my joys in life is helping lift people up.
Right.
But I find that if I offer things quickly without people necessarily wanting it, then they don't see it as a value. They throw it away. Like, oh, he's offering to teach me all these skills and train me, so it's not valuable.
Got it.
But if someone wants it,
you wanted her to ask.
Yeah, if someone asks for it, then I'm like, okay, now
you're so good
desire.
At this game, dude. You're like, you've
no,
just.
Man.
I should use the word game. I just figured you're a wise dude.
You fall a lot, like juggling. You juggle. You drop the balls. You got to pick them up. You drop 1,000 times, and you pick them 1,001 times.
I can spin a basketball, and my son said, "How do you do that?" I said, "I think for 2 years I sat in my bedroom and did this."
Yeah,
and I think that's, you know what I mean. You gotta have commitment.
You do. Just keep doing it. Eventually, you get skilled.
So anyway, so I get that. Like, you meet someone, you're not just gonna say, "Hey, here's my card." You know, wait for them. But then, in terms of the, "Hey, we try out on these days," it's not just, "Hey, open tryout." It's like, "Hey, you got to at least make some nominal domination so that just people that show up that don't care or."
Well, usually our process is on Tuesdays and Thursdays we meet up and train at a space in Buckhead we use, which is really nice. And
it sounds expensive. Why not pick a space near Magic City?
Well, we used to. That's why I got my loft over there. We used to meet up and train there inside my office home. We met up and trained. We did pyramids. You know, people stacked two or three high. We tumbled. And eventually, a really awesome guy. His name is Paul Rogers. He runs Buck Sports Barn in Buckhead. And they do kids' birthday parties. He's an awesome, world-famous personal trainer. This guy is great. And we do some circus classes there. And so he lets us use the space on Tuesdays and Thursdays in the evening time. Sort of rent-free in exchange that, you know, our artists who are really skilled help them out doing the kids' birthday parties on the weekends.
Ah.
So we try to earn a little bit of money by saying, you know, if you're a new artist, come on in. Because we do, it's kind of like open, but we do teach a lot there. We exchange ideas. So like $10 helps us cover some of that. And then it's also like, okay, you are making commitment and you're saying, yes, this is at least worth this to me. And it's not just a freebie that, you know. But then, of course, someone who's a really skilled artist who has a lot of years of experience.
Hey, it's Egypt.
Oh, wow.
Without gloves. I'm sorry. I was in rush mode. So, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, Egypt.
That's all I wanted to say. But anyways, carry on with your interview.
Okay.
And I have your card. And I will definitely be reaching out.
Awesome, yeah. Send an email. Say hi.
Okay. I actually do desert performances in California. So, I've been learning fire staff lately.
Nice. Yeah. Fire staff?
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, have a good one, guys.
You too.
I'm like, yeah, it's kind of like when they say when you want to buy the blue car, all you see is blue cars. Now I'm going to see circus fucking everywhere.
There are. A lot of people do circus arts, and they do train this and then train that, and people have just amazing talent everywhere, you know? Like all these people around, I'm sure those people have some sort of skill. You have awesome skills of spinning a basketball. Like, we discovered this.
I wouldn't say it's an awesome skill, but I can do it.
You know, and like, people have these skills, and you say, well, what makes a circus artist? Yeah, there are classic ones like the, you know, try flying trapeze and wire walking. But then if you have a skill and you have good entertainment with it, you have good motivation and direction, and you actually put it together in an act, you know, you can put that on stage.
But a lot of people have phenomenal skills and are horrible at business. You're not only your own business person, like many of us who are like trying to get our own gigs, but you're also like building something.
Yeah.
A community, a business, an organization, and sort of like in, hello, nice male person. Also sort of like its own like industry, if you will. So I think that's very impressive.
I want to do a revolution, a renaissance of circus here. And I think Atlanta's poised. It's a gateway to the South and the Midwest and the North. We have a good long season, such growth here.
Right.
I think we could have a renaissance.
Do you go to renaissance fairs?
Yeah, I do. I dress up like a pirate.
Do you go to Burning Man?
I went in 2005 when Katrina happened.
And that was it? That was good enough for you?
Well, I want to go back, but it's just an expensive ordeal.
It seems like a really expensive ordeal.
Yeah.
And
so groovy and fun and amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, I've never wanted to go. Although I do wish I went. The first time I heard about it, I was in Boston, and it was 1998, and I would have loved to have gone then so that I could be like, yeah, man, I went fucking 20 years ago, dude. Like, that, the only, you know what I mean? Because I remember hearing about it, and I Googled it at the time. Was there a Google in 98? A Yahoo. Netscape
AOL
Explored.
Dialed it up, yeah.
And looked it up, and I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. There's like 10,000 people there, and you know, now there's like a million people there.
That's a huge festival. That's, I think, spun off our festival culture. But, you know, Burning Man's nice that they
try to
do.
Well, the summer concert has always been kind of a thing, but it's had a couple of resurgence. Like Lollapalooza,
yeah.
Those of you that are my age.
Those are fun.
I went to the first four here in Georgia. They were phenomenal at Lakewood Amphitheater, which is now called whatever the fuck it's called.
Yeah.
It's been called Best Buy and seven other things. And so then that was a huge thing, and then it died, and then it kind of came back again. What's freaky to me, super freaky to me, is that I'm old enough that many different bands are doing the summer tour because they can't certainly sell their own tickets.
Right.
So there's the 80s tours and the 90s tours and the shitty metal bands tours. Whereas when I was young, it was like the Temptations and the Four Tops would tour together during the summer from the 50s because they couldn't tour on their own anymore.
I think that's where society is going. We're starting putting more things together to create more of an experience. And that's why a lot of people are reaching out. They want more circus and variety artists at these events because they realize people are coming for the music, but then they want more value for their guests.
Oh, what's his name? Who's the guy from the very first Lollapalooza?
Oh,
Jim. Jim Sideshow, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, I'm blanking on his
Do you know that guy?
I do. I'm friends with him. If someone wants to set up, I could do video chats with him, and we could charge money to have him talk about his sideshow experience. I spoke with him about this before, yeah. Why am I blanking on his name, too?
Somebody's yelling it. I've learned that people yell things through their phones or through their car while they're listening.
Oh, this is live?
No.
Oh.
But like you yell, like you will yell at your television.
Yeah.
If you know the answer on Jeopardy.
Right.
It's the same thing. And I got a text from someone the other day that was an answer to a question. And I said, why are you texting me this? She's like, you were asking that question. I'm like, okay, that interview was a month ago. And I put it up 2 weeks ago. So I have no idea what you're talking about.
It beeps and does a video. So now it's shooting a 10-second video.
Hey.
Yeah.
So we're both old and dead.
Yeah, old and dead, maybe.
It'll work.
If you're wondering what he's talking about, I have a little square thing called the chip, a narrative clip on me, and it takes a picture every 30 seconds of whatever's in front of me. And if I tap it twice, it shoots a 10-second video.
So most times I don't like to stop and do this, but
please stop
because...
what are you doing?
Looking up Lollapalooza, and then Jim, and then the word circus, and it's...
Jim Rose, sideshow.
Is that it?
I think so. Rose sideshow.
Jim, I'm putting Rose. Maybe it's Rhodes.
I can't believe I'm blanking that. All my circus friends, I'm sorry for
Jim Rose Circus is a modern day version of a circus sideshow. It was founded in 1991. After Lollapalooza in 93, Jim Rose headlined several world tours and released a self-titled video on Rick Rubin's such and such.
But he helped modernize some of it, the sideshow stuff on stage, and it really big. People liked it a lot. And I think it opened the door for a lot more people wanting to see, you know, stilt walkers and airless and fire spinners and tumblers and shows happening on stage.
Well, I think this is like a good, like, we've talked almost an hour and a half. I mean, some of it was our friend Nikki that went by. But yeah, I think this, I mean, I feel like we could talk even longer. Maybe we could do another one. I should come to a show.
Yes, please.
Right?
We're gearing up for shows. We don't have any shows on the calendar yet. This year, we're focusing on building the foundation, these five elements, assembling the board of directors, and moving forward to sustainability.
Right.
So,
when you say board of directors, is that like you want a guy from like Chick-fil-A and Coca-Cola, like those kinds of board of directors?
Well, so we have really groovy people on our board right now, board of advisors. They'll move into board of directors soon. We're searching for a CFO or a comptroller to join us, and maybe
gotta,
a really good attorney.
You got
to
pay those people.
Well, if they want to come work with a circus, circus is a slave mistress, man. I worked with Ringling Brothers for 7 weeks, and I got paid $300 a week before taxes, and I'd wake up at 8:30 in the morning, get to work by 9 to 2 hours before the show starts, do two or three shows on a Saturday and a Sunday, and then spend another 8 hours loading out at the end of the night. So you put in like an 80-hour plus week for $300. You're back broken. It's a horrible labor. No one should ever want to do circus stuff or work for a circus, but you do want to because it's beautiful and you love it. So it's like a BDSM relationship. But you know, so
do you ever work with those people?
Circus people or BDSM people?
BDSM people.
Hey man, if people want to hire us to do stuff, we come out. So yes, we've done a few projects with them.
Really?
Yeah.
Just like this guy's gonna juggle while this lady beats the crap out of this out of you, or?
Well, they hired me one time to walk around as a giant devil on jumping stilts, and that was kind of fun.
Oh, okay.
Man, no judgment. Judgment-free zone, yo. If people want to hire us, like, come out, provide entertainment.
Okay, but to back up, this circus experience, what were you doing for Ringling Brothers?
I was a backstage guy. Pick things up, put things down.
Because that's your way to get in front of stage, is to do that?
Well,
and after 7 weeks, you were like, fuck it, I don't want to do it?
This is for the last 7 weeks before they closed. So I was there for the last show ever for Ringling Brothers. And it's because my friend, he was a assistant general manager in that show, and the two Carney people walked off stage, and they were like, we quit, we're done. And so we needed a few people to finish up the tour. So I said, yeah, man, it's always been my dream to run away with Ringling Brothers for a bit. So jumped on the train with those guys, lived on a train for 7 weeks, and worked my ass off.
Literally a train.
Yeah, it was a city without a zip code. A mile-long train car 300 people lived on. And it'd roll up to a place, there was a pie car that cooked food, and you just live there with people from around the world, and you walk through the hallways and smells and sights and dirty shoes.
So how... The rails, though? Like, isn't Amtrak using those? Or?
They are. So the train would go a certain distance, and, you know, a rail conductor is certified to work a certain section of tracks. I'm sure Angel might have told you all of this. He was a rail conductor, I think, too. But, you know, we work a certain section of tracks. It stopped. It changed the engines, the conductors.
You just gave me a brilliant idea. The vision I have for this show is that we'll talk to people like you, and eventually, like...
Put them on the rails?
Super famous people, right? Yep. For now, it doesn't matter to me. Famous, like the first guest I had, you probably don't know him, is Kevin Gillespie, okay? A lot of people know who he is. He's a television chef, and he's really good, and people like his food. But he's not famous, like world famous. But I eventually would like to get like movie stars and whatnot when they come in town to shoot things. We can talk about Atlanta. We can talk about the movie industry. We can talk about whatever. But another thing that cool podcasts do is live shows, right? Like at an event, and you do, like, you know, you sit down like this. So having you and Angel, I just had this great idea that, like, you guys would be great live guests because you're both awesome. You both have a ton of stories. Like, we haven't touched one thousandth of the stories you could tell me about circus life, right?
I could tell you about lions peeing on me, yeah, totally.
Well, but I know, just in general, not just at the actual circuit, but you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Same thing with Angel. Angel and I just talked about the Beltline mostly. You know what I mean? And I've now learned more about his life, like, growing up gay and coming out and all the stuff, being in Miami, like fast. Anyway, so I think the first live show, I'm going to request you.
I would love to be there. There's a type of show I want to do.
Okay.
Do you know what a silent disco is?
Yes.
Headphones on.
Yes.
And you have like
different
channels.
In San Francisco like everything cool does, yeah. And now we eventually have them.
So I want to do a circus show.
Okay.
Where everything is pumped through the silent disco headphones. So everyone gets when they walk in, they see the show, okay? And so one track is the actual music track and the MC voice and all that. The show is how it's supposed to be seen. The other microphone's going to be one that's maybe just on the artist, so you hear him breathing and you hear the stage noises, like, because the breath is awesome to hear him. And then the last track, so three different tracks, so you could click on and you could choose.
Select through them?
Yeah, the last track would be two commentators, like up in the booth or something, talking like, oh, yes, look at that, they just tossed 10 clubs in the drum, blah, 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 and they just go back and forth like sports announcers.
Can I be one of the sports announcers?
I was going to say you'd make a great sports announcer.
Would you believe that was my dream as a kid?
I would believe it, yes.
So, I wanted, like, are you old enough to remember Howard Cosell?
Maybe. Go on.
This is Howard Cosell. He had a very famous way of speaking.
Yeah.
He was he's the bomb. He's the shit. And he also wasn't afraid to say, like, this is bullshit. Like, he would not be a network boy. Like, right. So boxing used to be way worse. Boxing would go 16 rounds.
Right.
And they'd put people on TV that clearly it was like just to watch a bloodbath. And he was speaking against that. He spoke out against football. He spoke out against having dumb jock commentators. He was the man.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's what I wanted to be when I was a small boy. I wanted to be Bob Costas or Howard Cosell or those kind of people.
I would see that. And I think you should still keep pursuing this dream. And when we do our first next show, I think it might be November, December-ish.
Right.
I will have you come in, and you can sit up in the booth and just like chat through it and be like, man, they're doing this. I don't know what they're doing.
Is this the silent disco thing or no?
This might just be another thing. We do a live, we could do a video and have a recording track, kind of like the bonus content for
right?
a DVD.
I would, dude, that would be awesome.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, I think that's a good place to end for now.
Done.
Dude.
Well, hey, thanks for taking the time. I appreciate you coming.
Can we do a high five? You seem to want to high five people.
High five.
All right, there you go. Hope you enjoyed that. We got to know Nikki a little bit more. Nikki, who is Dario's favorite surprise guest on the podcast, and maybe some of you others. We're going to keep track of her because she's already come by yet another time for another interview. We'll probably see her frequently. And thanks, Nikki, for dropping in and spending some time with us. Anyhow, hope you have a great, great week, everybody. More great content to come. Please go to iTunes. Do that thing that everyone asks you to do, which is say nice things. Not just because it helps us in the show, blah, 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 blah. Because it means a lot to me personally. This is me, Matt, saying what Gary Vee says. Your comments are like oxygen. So when you stop and say something, it means a lot to me. What do you like? What do you not like? Who do you want to see on the show? There's my phone buzzing. It would mean the world to me. Take a moment and do that. Also, telling a friend does a lot. Posting this link to your friends. Have you checked out the Atlanta podcast? Or next time you're in a conversation, oh, I know you listen to WTF and How Stuff Works and This American Life and the millions of other shows you listen to, Joe Rogan, Tim Ferriss, blah, blah, blah. Have you checked out the Atlanta podcast with Matt B. Davis? I don't know. Is it just about Atlanta? Hell no. I mean, he lives in Atlanta, so it's with people in Atlanta, but they talk about pretty much everything and anything, and it's pretty gosh darned entertaining. Okay, folks, thank you so much. Love you, miss you, mean it. I gotta run.